Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's Thursday, one of my favorite days. We are live in Los Angeles, and this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, right here on FS1, 1 hour from now, like we do every Thursday. If you're a better, if you like fantasy football, or you just want to get smarter and love the game, Greg Cosell in 1 hour. NFL meat sandwich, Giants-Eagles tonight. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I just to warn everyone, I have a bandage on my ear. I had surgery on it yesterday. Nothing dramatic, but if you see it, that's what it's there for.
Now, you went to a doctor. You just didn't do stuff at home?
I didn't do it by myself, no. All right. I had a cut. I my ear ripped from wearing heavy earrings for many years.
Yeah.
It popped, so it had to be sewed, but they have to cut it.
Yeah,
and then they have to like sear it, so it's just got to stay dry.
Are you on drugs this morning or medication?
There's no drugs involved.
All right,
so I'll be as crazy as usual.
If you're a little loopy during Herdline News, we got an excuse. We can bake it in.
Yes.
Let's start with this. I am here for it. Grumpy, snippy, condescending Aaron Rodgers is back. It is my favorite kind of Aaron Rodgers. He is not in a good mood. They were blown out, strangely, again. Last five losses all been blowouts. That's kind of odd. Anywho, Aaron was snippy with the very nice Midwestern media. These are flannel shirt-wearing people, flyover country, and Aaron got very coastal. He got very snippy. Here's the first example.
Hey, Aaron, do you think, based on how Tampa defended you, that teams, have a better handle on – the maturation of year one to year two of your offense?
So because of one game, what is it that you're implying, Mark?
Our team's figuring you out.
One out of five.
It wasn't the best question. It did not end there. He got snippy again moments later from a very nice Midwestern reporter just doing their job, have their backpack and their pens and paper and pencil, just asking questions to an American icon. Here we go.
Are you okay?
Yeah, Rob, fine.
You just seem a little down in the dumps is all.
I'm definitely not down in the dumps, so don't project that onto me. That's not a reality.
It's my favorite kind of Aaron. Oh, he's getting snippy. This is interesting. So the NFL's got a bunch of young quarterbacks, and they're a little more inconsistent. Then it's got a bunch of old guys, and they got some limitations. But there's two great quarterbacks right in the middle. They're not young, they're not old, and they're icons, and they're first-ballot Hall of Famers. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. They're about as good as you're going to see. I've never seen a runaround quarterback as good as Russell, and I'm not sure I've seen anybody but Dan Marino throw a ball as well as Aaron Rodgers. Of course, you think I love Russell, and I don't like Aaron. That's what you believe. No, I love what Russell Wilson represents, and sometimes Aaron Rodgers drives me nuts by what he represents, and I'll give you an example. I presented a stat this week, and even Packer fans, even people that defend Aaron Rodgers, Trent Dilfer, Doug Gottlieb, and we're all friends, but they're like, I can't argue your stat. Why does Green Bay get blown out so much with Aaron? And why do they never come from behind? It's bizarre. So let's just talk Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson has a mental strategist. I interviewed him this week on my podcast. Trevor Moad. And he's trying, and it's working last several years, to make Russell Wilson neutral. That's what he has tried to make Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson wants to be neutral, meaning no peaks, no valleys, no huge celebrations, no down in the dumps. And I believe Aaron's the opposite, and Green Bay's the opposite, and I believe teams become their quarterback. So with Green Bay, you get these massive blowout wins and a lot of ugly losses. With Aaron Rodgers, you get glib, funny Aaron on the Pat McAfee Show, very funny, and you get snippy Aaron. On the field, you get discount double check Aaron, and then you get, bad body language Aaron. None of these, of course, are deniable. And what does it translate to? Aaron's been blown out 19 times in his career, 10% of his games. Double Russell Wilson, Mr. Neutral. Since the start of last year, Russell's come from behind in the fourth quarter 6 times. 3 times as often as Aaron Rodgers. Because when things are great for Aaron, he is on top of the world. He is condescending. He is glib. He is discount double check. And when they are bad, he is moody and bad body language and snippy. And I don't want to talk about it. Teams become their quarterback. This explains it. Now, Aaron is now in a bad mood, and Green Bay is going to take it out on Houston. Because if you go look at Aaron, Aaron gets really high during the winning streaks. And then last year they go to the Chargers and just get walloped. And Aaron said publicly, we got a little too into ourselves. And then Aaron this year, Green Bay got off to a great start. And then they get beat by Tampa. And Aaron comes out and goes, we got a little too into ourselves. Or maybe, Aaron, you got a little too into you. But you never hear Russell Wilson say that because he's seeking neutral. No peaks, no valleys. This is why Seattle is such a great come-from-behind team. That is why Russell Wilson almost never gets blown out, despite having the last 3 years a horrible offensive line, and this year having the worst defense in the league. Teams become their quarterbacks. Aaron's either snippy, celebrating, sulking, fist-pumping, blowouts, awful losses, up and down and up and down, because that's Aaron's personality. And Russell is neutral. You don't see the highs. You don't see the lows. Remember when he threw that Super Bowl interception? I mean, that's the reality. You become your quarterback. And so Aaron now is snippy Aaron. And I am here for it. And I do believe Green Bay is going to roll this week. But if you're trying to figure out why does Aaron have so few fourth quarter comebacks historically, it makes no sense. Why does this team lose? They get blown out. That's your answer. Moody people, moody teams. Dad's moody, family's moody. Mom's moody, family's moody. Because you have to, like, walk on eggshells for the moody leader of the family or the moody leader of your team. Well, I saw this morning, speaking of the Seahawks. Antonio Brown, who is a marvelous talent at wide receiver but is difficult, Seattle is one of the teams looking for him. Now, let me start with this. I've always been able to separate art from artist. You can create great music and be an awful human. I can still enjoy your music and think I don't want any part of you to do personally, but you do create great art. I've always been able to separate the two. I'm not looking for perfect artists. I think what creates art is often what creates dysfunction. So I can separate Antonio Brown, not a guy I respect, and Antonio Brown, damn good wide receiver. Secondly, talent is a commodity. We know this. Sports is about winning now, and he can help some teams. But I do believe this is something I live by. Be nimble, be adaptable. I talk about this so often, it irritates you. Life changes really fast. It is your problem if you can't adapt. I'll give you commercial real estate, one of the great investments last 20 years. Buy big buildings, rent them out, get rich. A lot of people in America are rich, own commercial real estate. Oh, it was good in January. And then COVID hit. And there's Zoom meetings. And there's just nothing but empty commercial buildings for the next decade. It's not a good investment. Be warned. Life changes fast. Uber killed parking garages. My entire life, parking garages are what rich guys owned. Uber. You don't take your own car. Life changes fast. Something is happening in football. And like usually is the case, young people in America create the cultural changes. The fashion changes, the music changes, the athletic changes. So what is happening in the NFL is talent at wide receiver is exploding. Just this year, 2 of the top 7 receivers in the NFL yards are rookie wide receivers. Why is that happening? There's 3 reasons. An explosion over the last 10 to 15 years of 7-on-7 drills. Well, what does that mean? Well, 7-on-7 drills have not only helped the quarterbacks. Who are the quarterbacks throwing to? wide receivers. Wide receivers are exploding in this country. Number two is young people are the ones that start cultural changes. Young people 10 years ago, the money's for the quarterbacks and the money's for the wide receivers. Who wants to get hit? That's why it's hard to find great boxers and great running backs. Who wants to get hit? Young people figured it out and said, dude, I can catch. I'm going to go be a wide receiver, make more money, and last longer. And the third thing that's happening is college football now is throwing the ball more. What does that mean? It used to be that a college receiver could come out of college with 80 catches. They come out of college now with 250 catches. Everybody's throwing the ball 40. Alabama is now defined by wide receivers. So what does it mean? The NFL, this year alone, there's 7 wide receivers making a major impact. Why would you roll the dice if you're Seattle on Antonio Brown? You're good at receiver. You have great chemistry. I'm not doubting talent. I'm not saying he's not a commodity. And I can separate art from artist. But I don't get this one. There's probably places he'd work. But I'm looking right now at the last 3 NFL drafts. I'm looking at a piece of paper. 27 wide receivers I would put as very good and impactful. 27. And I'm not counting the other 34 who are developing, have their moments, but are not ones or maybe high twos yet. This I don't get. The world is changing. I'm not saying a troubled wide receiver doesn't have a spot in the NFL, but boy, you better be very careful, because I've watched Antonio Brown at 3 different places, and the last 3, New England, the Raiders, and the Steelers, it was a mess. All right, coming up next, why the Dodgers will win the World Series, why last night doesn't matter, and it has a lot to do with my wife being out of the house for 2 weeks, and Joy's laughing. I've already told her my story. That is coming up next. Plus, the Steelers are back on top. And guess who wasted the last 2 years on it? Cleveland. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
RecTech with a Q.com, RECTEQ.com. Smart grill technology. Start your grill from your phone. Cook your meat, seafood from your phone. Built by grillers for grillers. So the Dodgers lost last night. In game 1, they threw Clayton Kershaw. They won. In game 3, they're going to throw Walker Buehler, their ace. They'll win. But last night, they didn't have an ace, so they tried to MacGyver it. You know, they just threw a bunch of relievers. Their bullpen's not very good, inning or two. And at the end of the night, it wasn't terribly satisfying, and the Dodgers lost. They didn't have a single ace, a single elite pitcher throw, and the Rays had their ace and won. But they knew that because they had Clayton Kershaw in game 1, and they have Walker Buehler in game 3. And so this reminds me of what happens when my wife leaves town for a little while. When my wife, before she leaves, like we have dinner together, we commit to each other. She can cook, I can cook. We use plates and stuff. We use recipes. It's like kind of an event. We sit down and we talk and have a glass of wine. It's a real dinner with like proteins and stuff and vegetables. And then my wife will leave town. And knowing that when she gets back, we're going to use plates and stuff and have real dinners, what do I do when she's gone? Knowing that I just had great dinners and I'll have great dinners again. I MacGyver it. Last night, my wife's out of town and I had top ramen and a bowl of cereal and a tortilla with hot sauce on it and some chocolate almonds and a cocktail. And like the Dodgers bullpen, I sort of MacGyvered it. And by the end of the night, I realized that was not terribly satisfying. I tried to talk myself into it, but woke up this morning starving. That's what the Dodgers did. The Dodgers knew Kershaw was great, and they feel good going forward, and Walker Buehler's their ace. So game 2, you just go to the bullpen. And last night as a guy, I just went to the pantry. I did not use a single thing out of the refrigerator. And the Dodgers did not use a single elite pitcher. Thought they could kind of cobble it together. So did I. But let me tell you, bowl of cereal and a tortilla with hot sauce, it's not great. I don't even know if I thought it would be great. And Dave Roberts probably knew deep down, this isn't going to be great. This is the World Series. They're good. But I'm not worried because my wife's coming home and we'll cook together and we'll use plates and stuff and recipes and we'll be back on nutritional supplements. It will be a great life and we'll have chicken and stuff and broccoli. It'll be like a real rice peel off. And Dave Roberts knows, we went to the pantry last night. We're going to be okay.
You still feel you're in control of the series?
We feel great, Dylan. We've got Walker going, we've got Julio going, and then we've got Clayton. So, and if you look at kind of where our relievers are set with the off day tomorrow, we're in a great spot.
I tried last night. Kind of. Sort of. Dodgers are fine. They'll win game three. They throw the race. They're the better team. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
It just sounds like a tummy ache.
Oh, it was, yeah. 9:15. And you just think, I knew going in. I mean, if you're a Dodger fan last night, you knew going in, like, boy, we're just kind of throwing crap out there. I knew after the bowl of cereal, the tortilla, but you know, it was there, and I thought, yeah, maybe I can get an inning out of it.
Why not?
I can get three outs.
So the Browns have a winning record at 4-2 and are in the hunt to break their 18-year playoff drought.
Yeah.
But after the 38-7 blowout loss to the Steelers last week, Baker Mayfield says it didn't feel so great in the Browns locker room.
The feeling throughout the building after that loss, 4-2 has never felt so much like 0-6 before. So but that's because, you know, we have very high expectations for ourselves.
And because blowouts really don't feel good, and because people are kind of considering them to be a very competitive team, and the Steelers are an actual competitive team.
Well, it's a take a deep breath moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Cleveland's not going to face a defense like that that resembles that until December 15th, 20th, something like that, the Ravens. Throw the tape away. Take a deep breath. You're 4-2. You have the best or second best running game in the league. This is one of these classic bad teams historically with low sports self-esteem overreact to wins and losses.
Look at how Aaron Rodgers reacted to the blowout. He's offended that people are questioning him.
If I was a Cleveland Browns staffer, throw the Steeler tape away. You're not 0-6. You're 4-2. And by the way, I looked it up this morning. Browns have the easiest NFL schedule going forward. They will not face any defense. And they have a rookie left tackle against the Steelers. Good luck. So this is a classic. It shouldn't feel like 0-6. If it feels like 0-6, you're overly emotional. Take a deep breath. You're 4-2. They're going to go on like a 5-game winning streak in Cleveland.
They play the Bengals next week. Then they have the Raiders at home. Then they're the Texans. Eagles at home.
Close.
At the Jags. At the Titans.
That's fine. But you're not 0-6. You're 4-2 with a month of games. You should win all of them. Philly will be close.
I don't think it's so much that they got blown out by a really good team and they're not going to see a defense like that again. Because they lost like that to the Ravens, too.
Right.
So to me, that feeling of anxiety, the 0-6 that he's talking about, is coming from the fact that when you play really good teams, you play terrible. And that's the next step of development.
Right.
Now, I don't think you should panic. I'm with you. You play the teams that are on your schedule, and you've beaten more of those teams than you've lost.
Yeah.
So take the losses as what it is. Those teams are better than us, and we're going to have to play better to beat them.
Yeah.
But that's the issue. They played three teams with a winning record, the Ravens, the Colts, and Pittsburgh. They beat one of those teams.
Yeah, convincingly.
You are not there yet.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. This is always the problem with the Browns or, as you said, teams that have low sports self-esteem.
They go high and low.
You have just, it's okay.
It's okay.
You're going to lose games in the NFL, and sometimes they're going to be bad. Aaron Rodgers is a perfect example of that. He is offended at the mere idea that they are falling apart. They lost the game.
Listen, New England this past weekend, that game against Denver really wasn't that competitive. They got pushed around the field for 3.5 hours. It happens. It's like, it's just the NFL. Like, you're just going to have bad weekends. The key in this whole thing, don't get too high, don't get too low, just go.
But that's just drama. It's drama. You can't overreact to the situations.
You and I had dramatic childhood, so we're just not up for it. Like, I'm not into drama.
I'm not into drama.
Well, because when you have dramatic childhoods, but for different reasons, you just put your hand up. Not interested in your drama.
Just solve the problem. It can't be the same thing every single day. And that's the Browns' issue. You can't overreact to losses like this. So Tua will get his highly anticipated first NFL start next week. Wish it was this week, but I understand why it's next week.
Yeah.
next week when the Dolphins host the Rams, and he spoke yesterday about his excitement and his surprise about the move.
You know, you never know when your opportunity is given. And when Coach Flo called me, I thought it was like any other call. Boy, it's definitely been a journey. I definitely do reflect on that process that I went through. And, you know, I'm definitely blessed to be able to still be here and play the game that I grew up dreaming to play.
You know, between Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, and Tua, they're all, for their age, really mature. These are 22-year-old guys. They're just all their temperaments. Joe Burrow is very focused. Tua is just, there's a certain calm about him. Like, that's not a small thing.
I also think that when you look around at all of our leagues, a lot of the young stars are much more, not, I don't want to say more mature, but it does feel like they come into the league kind of understanding what's expected of them. Even in college, they kind of already show their maturity and the ability to deal with the press and the hype. And I think that there's a lot of factors playing into that. One, I think that former players take a bigger concerted effort in mentoring and reaching out. And
that's
being
a huge part of it.
Yes, of these young athletes' lives. I think that they're spending a lot more time at camps around these former players and developing, and around each other as well, similar to the, you know, AAU mentality that goes on in the NBA. They all kind of know each other. So while they're still competitive, there's a little bit more camaraderie and understanding of what they're going into. I think the leagues do a really good job of rookies working with rookies to make sure that they have, you know, good people around them. You know, they're financially in a good situation with their money, you know, rookie symposiums. But yeah, I mean, the future of the league, of all these leagues, is just, it's remarkable the amount of great stars and talent that are coming into all the major leagues.
No, and I think some of this over the last 10 to 15 years, the money is so enormous now that the coaching now, these guys are mini micro industries. And so, like, people are there meant, you know, Trent Dilfer does this. Like, you're going to be a $100 million athlete.
Yeah, and you're having those conversations with them when they're
16.
In high school.
Yeah, no, so I mean, this is, and so there's a real sense. Like, there's support systems for them. It is really hard to find a young star in American sports today, like the Mahomes-level kind of guy, that doesn't have their act together.
Right, they are just completely unaware of what's expected of them.
No, they're
yeah, and also social media, I think, plays a big role in that, too, because they're kind of already stars before they get to the NFL, so they've already been dealing with that. So, finally, some trade news. Defensive end Yannick Ngakoue is on the move again. After just 6 games with the Vikings, Ravens have traded for the pass rusher. Baltimore will reportedly send a 2021 third-round pick and a 2022 conditional fifth-round pick to Minnesota in exchange for Ngakoue. He had 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 7 quarterback hits, 12 tackles in 6 games this season with Minnesota.
No, so I don't think this is that Minnesota doesn't like him. I think it's Baltimore needs him.
Yeah.
And that's a lot for an edge rusher. Those are real picks.
Right. So he's flying to Baltimore. They have a bye this week. So he's flying to Baltimore in the next 24 hours to begin COVID protocol. So he'll be ready to play in week 8 for the Steelers. But the NFL Baltimore leads the NFL in fewest points allowed per game, and they're tied for second most sacks. So this is just bolstered. They're already pretty active defense.
Well, and I think if you watch Pittsburgh, how they handled Cleveland, Baltimore may look at that and say, here's a way to beat Cleveland. It's the pass rush. I don't think this is the Vikings bailing on him. I think this is the Vikings saying, God, I think Baltimore initiated those calls, perhaps, and said, we need a pass rusher. We'll give you 2 real good picks.
And the Vikings see where they are.
Yeah,
they see where the team is. They need to start rebuilding. Yeah. And he'll be reuniting with Calais Campbell, who he was with in Jacksonville.
Woo! Poor Joe Burrow. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Pete Schrager is now joining us. Peter Schrager, Fox Sports NFL reporter, and a great one brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. How about that? I'll just throw this out at you because we just found out about it a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Baltimore looks at that division and thinks, hey, if we're going to get past Pittsburgh, we got to get to Ben Roethlisberger. We got to get to Baker Mayfield. That just feels like Baltimore called Minnesota and said, he's good. We'll give you some draft picks. It doesn't feel like, to me, Minnesota's bailing on him. He's a good player, right?
He's a great player, but Minnesota gave him a huge contract when they made the trade before the start of the season. So it is head scratching on Minnesota's end. But Danielle Hunter was announced today, likely out for the rest of the season. The Vikings, one win. Maybe it's one of those deals where Joy was kind of referring to it, where are we going? Let's get some draft picks while we can and someone else take care of this contract. The Ravens, really interesting. They know that they've got some deficiencies on offense and on defense and in the interior offensive line. Like, they're not done tinkering. They're 5-1, but they're not sitting pretty. Not only did they make this move, but the Dez Bryant move, they're trying to work him out and get him to the practice squad, maybe get another red zone target for Lamar. I always respect teams that are good but want to be great. And they're no stranger to looking at this. The Chiefs have their number. The Titans beat them up in the playoffs last year, and the Steelers are back. Ravens might be the fourth best team in the AFC right now, and that's not good enough. So the Ngakoue move is a big one. It's a big swing, and I love it.
You know, there's losing in the NFL, and then there's what the Cowboys are doing, where you've got dysfunction, you've got leaking. Is it as bad, Schrags, as it seems?
Look, the injuries are the first thing that the rational fan wants to point to and say, well, look, they're down to their fourth left tackle. They've got no Zach Martin. They've got no Travis Frederick. He retired. But I would point to teams like the 49ers, who have lost everyone from an injury and fight every week and win games. I would point to teams, like the Tennessee Titans, who missed 2 weeks of practice because of COVID-19 and have come out and beaten two really good teams, the Bills and the Texans, in back-to-back weeks. The Cowboys situation is interesting for me because I think when there were a lot of red flags this offseason and no one really that is kind of weird. Mike McCarthy sat down with Jerry Jones and was hired. Like, they didn't do the full interview process. There was Marvin Lewis or a couple other guys they spoke with, but Mike McCarthy met with Jerry and was hired. There was no situation where it was like, let's meet with Lincoln Riley or let's try to get Nick Saban or heck, let's go talk to Stefanski and Rule. Like, Mike McCarthy was out of football last year. And for Jerry Jones, the biggest team, the star, to say, all right, I'm going to take Mike McCarthy, who spent the offseason looking at analytics, and make him the belle of the ball and the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and he's going to bring along Mike Nolan. That might be a bit of a red flag. The other red flag, changing a defensive system in a COVID-shortened offseason where you can't teach it to the defense, might have been a little bit too much too soon for a defense that was learning an entirely new scheme without being there at the practice field. And lastly, in 10 years from now, we're going to look back on the CeeDee Lamb pick and be like, that was great. But for the emergency that they had on defense, knowing what they had, taking a luxury item like a wide receiver with the 18th overall pick when there were guys on defense that might have really been helpful right now on a defense that is struggling and is at one of the all-time worst paces we've ever seen in the league, maybe that was a red flag we could have looked at. So it's all hindsight. And Colin, I was the first person to say, they're loaded. They've got CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper. But I don't know if we should have maybe looked at some of these things and said, wait a second, they don't have a single defensive back on their team that we know and that has any real NFL experience. Maybe that's a problem.
Joy and I were saying this. For some reason, wide receivers get talked a lot about at the trading deadline because it's usually a team like a Chicago or Baltimore that's good. But there's a roadblock, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, or the Steelers and Mahomes, and those Ravens and Bears think, we need some cheap touchdowns. We need a perimeter energy guy. And I said with the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb's going to be great. Amari Cooper's big player. Cedric Wilson can play. Michael Gallup, you're going to have to pay him soon. And I look at the Bears and the Ravens, and let's just talk like Bears. And the Bears have, they have Allen Robinson and nothing. Do you think the Cowboys, like the Vikings, may look at this in the next week and go, maybe it's time to get some picks and reboot a little bit? What do you think about
it? The difference is that as we talk on this Thursday morning, Colin, the Cowboys are in first place. Like, it's really weird. Like, they're in first place. They have sole possession of first place in their division. So if there was to be a playoff game, they're still at home on a Saturday night with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth talking about what Zeke Elliott's going to do. Like, that's the difference. I think the Vikings, they look at this and they're realistic and they're saying, all right, we're going to try to win, but I don't know if this is our best step and might as well get a bounty of picks for our guy, Yannick Ngakoue, who we barely know. The Cowboys, the offense hasn't really been the problem, right? Like, Gallup's been good and Cooper's been good and Lamb's been good. What are you getting for Michael Gallup? If it's a draft pick, that doesn't help them right now. I think the Cowboys are still competitive in the NFC East, which makes it difficult for them to say, yeah, pull the trigger and do a fire sale right now. I'm interested on the Bears side because this is almost by design. Like, they're okay winning this way. And I think a lot of Bears fans are frustrated saying, what is with our offense? They've got nothing as far as, you know, Tariq Cohen goes down. We don't have anything to replace it. And yet they win, they win, they win. They're 5-1. They've got one against the Rams this weekend. I'm really interested to see what happens, because if they win every game 23-20, 21-15, 20-17, they're all wins. They count. And I don't know if style points matter anymore.
Antonio Brown, we see Seattle's kind of interested. There's, we talked about this to start the show. Wide receivers over the last 4 to 5 years, for a variety of reasons, are plentiful. We had 30 drafted last year. Two of the top seven this year in yards are rookie receivers. I don't know how many times you want to roll the dice on a receiver that's had some locker room issues. Antonio Brown's a commodity, though. He's talented. Do you buy the Seahawk rumors?
I was leaning over because this here is a Travis Fulgham jersey from Old Dominion. I was talking about him, and the school sent me a jersey. That's who's going to be the star tonight. And then, just to your point, Travis Fulgham is one of the best wide receivers in football right now for the Eagles. And then you look at what the Seahawks already have, and they're getting stuff from David Moore, who went to a non-name brand college.
Yeah.
All around the league, there are all these other guys that are stepping up. Do you really want to bring in Antonio Brown when you're 5-0 and you're that team? I would say this. Pete Carroll, John Schneider, these guys, they're not pushovers. They're also not one of these teams that is looking to just add talent for a splash. They know what they're doing. John Schneider is probably the best general manager in football right now, and his track record speaks for itself. If they are to bring in Antonio Brown, this isn't going to be some Hail Mary in the wind. It's going to be one of these deals where there's zero tolerance. They're not going to put up with his stuff, and that they've done their due diligence. I've heard that the Seahawks have been thinking about Antonio Brown for more than a year now. I mean, let's see what happens. But I also don't think every team can take an Antonio Brown based on what has been in the news and what he does off the field. And of course, what his Twitter feed populates itself with on a day-to-day basis.
Eagles play tonight. I am known around these parts as Mr. Positivity. And
you
so
are.
And I looked this morning, Shrags, and I said to myself, I told the staff, because I'm the Eagle guy on the staff, and I said, if you asked an Eagle fan and you said, God, what do we need right now? You'd say, a bye, a team in dysfunction, and some bad offenses. Well, in the next month, they face the Giants twice, get a bye, and the Cowboys. I think they're going to sweep it. I think they're going to win those three and get healthy. They play tonight. I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm like, listen, the schedule gives us exactly what we need, and I think they win tonight. You have good sourcing there. How are they viewing the world right now as nobody is healthy?
Survive in advance. It's the same deal as with the Cowboys. The Eagles have one win and a tie, and yet they're waking up this morning feeling pretty good, because here's the deal. I just mentioned Travis Fulgham, a sixth-round pick out of Old Dominion, who spent his childhood living in Cairo, Egypt. He's their number one wide receiver right now, honestly. And their running back is Boston Scott, who is 5'7" and was never supposed to be a number one wide running back. Their tight ends, no Ertz, no Goddard. It's Richard Rodgers is their number one tight end. I say all that because these aren't season-ending injuries. These guys are coming back. So Ertz is coming back. Goddard's coming back. Miles Sanders is coming back. DeSean Jackson will be on the field tonight. Alshon Jeffrey's coming back. If you just get to the bye, which is in 2 weeks, to your point, Colin, the Eagles, they could be really good again. Like, this could just be a blip and we'll forget about it once they start their November and December. The Eagles get just about everyone back to the lineup. Their offensive line is in tatters. Wentz is doing heroic work in these losses. Just have to get a couple wins here. Maybe even just one win. Just beat the Giants. You can even lose to the Cowboys next week. Get to the bye. And then they get their entire arsenal on offense back, and you don't have to rely on Travis Fulgham and John Hightower and Richard Rodgers, which they will be tonight. I think they win tonight. I do. I don't think it'll be easy, but I think their whole deal is, let's just get to that bye, and then let's reset, and then let's start our November-December run.
Fox Sports, Good Morning Football 2 and the NFL Network, co-author of the New York Times bestseller Out of the Blue, Peter Schrager. It is
good. Travis Fulgham.
Yeah.
Let's go.
He is here to stay, my friend. Old Dominion football, the very best.
That's it. What we talk about, ratings.
Good seeing you, buddy. Coming up next, be ready in life. You may get an opportunity, and you better be ready for it, because the Steelers are back, and that dry spell is over. And we'll talk about that, plus Greg Cosell, top of next hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I'm not a big pet peeve guy. I'm rarely outraged. I'm the opposite of Twitter. I'm almost never outraged, and I'm not a big pet peeve guy. But one of the things that aggravates me are people that waste time. If you can't have a meaningful conversation, I don't care about the weather. I just, time wasters, they drove me nuts in college. They drive me nuts now. Let's be ready to operate. I don't want to ask you a question or ask for something, or you ask me for something and I'm just not prepared. Like, be prepared in life. Be a grown up. Be an adult. Doesn't mean you have to be rigid. Doesn't mean you can't be adaptable. Time waster. So, Joy, give me a pet peeve.
Oh, I'm irritated just listening to you talk about those people. That's very close to my top. I think similarly, people that just constantly have problems.
Drama.
Yes, like you just—it's every day. It's a problem, and it's like, oh, we solved. I thought we solved that yesterday. It's the same problem. Oh, you have a new problem. Great. Like, I can't deal with people that constantly have problems.
We're not talking about you, Goulet, by the way. What is your pet peeve?
Besides you not pointing the microphone at your face, which is my number one work pet peeve. My biggest one is people who—if you're habitually late, I have no patience for people who are always the 5 minutes, 10 minutes late. I can't stand it.
Boy, Gottlieb never better host this show.
We are not on good terms because of that.
Okay. So, and the reason I say this is, I tell my kids this all the time, just be ready to go. Be ready to go, because in life, Amazon may come up, offer you a job one time in your life, give you stock options, you're retiring at 42, and you're a screw off and you're backpacking around Amsterdam, you're not ready to play. Be ready to go in life. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. I have a cocktail almost every night. I go on great vacations. Be ready to go. Prime example. Pittsburgh Steelers last 2 years, and this is rare, had drama, A.B. Le'Veon Bell, had injuries to Big Ben. They were kind of a mess. The last 2 years, the Steelers, 17-14-1. That's bad for the Steelers. Who was the one team in their division the minute the Steelers hiccuped was ready to go? Baltimore. Baltimore's well run. It's grown-ups. It's Harbaugh. Steve Bisciotti. So the minute Pittsburgh, the iconic franchise in the division, the minute they stumble, Baltimore's like, let's go, ready to go, let's go. We got our quarterback, let's go. Move Flacco out, get Lamar in, let's go. Cleveland and Cincinnati for the last 2 years. This rare opportunity in your division, Pittsburgh, gets an unfortunate injury. They have real drama for about a year and a half, like real, like locker room stuff. Cincinnati was 8-24, and Cleveland was 13-18-1. This is why maturity matters for my quarterbacks. Why I don't like police videos, calling out the medical staff. Be ready to go, Baker. Let's go. Time to grow up. Lamar came into the league, ready to go. Not refined, not polished, not perfect. Lamar was ready to take over a franchise. Joe Burrow is ready to take over a franchise. Now, he doesn't have much to work with. But Cleveland's got all this talent the last 2 years. But they're such a dysfunctional mess, so much drama, that when the Steelers hiccuped, and God, they almost never do, Baltimore, the grown-ups in that division, boom, seized it, number one seed last year. They don't have to win a Super Bowl, ready to win the division. Cleveland, Cincinnati, constant drama, not enough grown-ups in the room. And I'm not just blaming Baker, but it's a prime example. And now, this morning, what do we have? Pittsburgh's back. Steelers, Titans this weekend, fifth time in NFL history. Fifth time, that's it. Two unbeaten teams face in week 7. The winner of it has gone on 4 times to make the Super Bowl that year. So Pittsburgh was a Super Bowl team. Then they hiccuped. Cleveland, Cincinnati didn't have their crap together. Pittsburgh's back. This is a Super Bowl level team. And so I tell my kids, you don't know when the best thing's going to come. My daughter's gone on great trips. She vacations. We vacate. You can have a lot of fun in life, but be a grown-up. I tell my daughter, backpack on somebody else's time. College is when you can grow up. But the second you're out of it, the job offer of Microsoft may come. Be ready to play. College is 4 years. I've seen your class schedule. There's plenty of times to have a cocktail. There's plenty of times to party. Ends, we ready to go. So it's interesting. We all talk about, oh, the talent and Burrow and Baker is, you may have had your two-year window and you blew it because Pittsburgh is back. They beat Tennessee. They're back. Greg Cosell next.